Well, thanks again for listening to the Park Hills podcast. If you want more information on things we're doing, go to parkhillschurch.com or the Park Hills Church app. All right, into 2 Peter.
Finally.
Are you ready to roll?
Oh, let's rock and roll.
Let's talk about 2 Peter. So this, you know, the beginning of this book has this interesting little phrase that you weren't able to go into in full depth in the sermon. So we're going to unpack some of it here. Not as much as we'd maybe like, but some of it. So verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1. What's going on?
2 Peter 1:3.
Yeah. Apparently, we aren't the only ones that You did not have caffeine much today, and apparently I need more caffeine. That's where I'm at.
I'm zero milligrams today.
Yeah. All right. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, which if you think about it, that is a lot of numbers in weird orders. 2, 1, 3 just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever helps you sleep at night.
Yeah, it does make me sleep at night. All right. So his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. Ooh. All right. So when we think about that, and then you go into verse 4, he says, we become partakers of the divine nature. So we're going to talk about divine power, divine nature. There's a theological term that sort of is pulled out of some of that you know, opens up this can of worms for us. And you said this is what you want to talk about on the podcast, so I'm going to let you run with it first. So,
nice handoff.
You're welcome. What is this thing we're talking about?
So the term that we're going to talk about in this podcast is called general revelation, which is distinguished from something called special revelation, which we'll actually pick up, spoiler alert, in next podcast. So this is kind of a two-parter here.
Nice.
Because 2 Peter kind of deals with each of them in turn. So the idea, the difference, general and special revelation. General revelation are things that God has revealed, like this says not this verse. We usually go to Romans. Let me read Romans.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Romans 1:20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. So Paul's making the point in Romans there that God's attribute, characters and characteristics and qualities of who he is are available for everyone to see. Everybody can look at creation. Everybody can look at nature. Everybody can look at order and reason and even science. All of those things declare things about God. So we can learn who God is. We can learn his character, his nature, things like that from just general things that are all around us. Special revelation then is distinguished from that, and that's when God speaks specifically to his people through scripture and through the person of Jesus Christ. So we're looking here at 2 Peter with this idea of general revelation because it's interesting, this verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things. So What are all things? All things are all things. All things what? That pertain to both life and godliness. So you could even see both special and general revelation in this verse, but all things that pertain to life have been granted to us. So the idea is God has given us everything we need. There's some other translations I wanted to read of this.
Yeah.
That's NIV. This is what I grew up on. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us. Then the NASB says, his divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's a little bit closer to the ESV there. So just this idea that God has given us everything we need. Now, I know some people who have taken that to be scripture. Like, God has given us everything we need. I hear cessationists, people who believe that the Spirit doesn't work through sign gifts at all today, talk about that's, this is part of, you know, we have everything we need, so God doesn't need to give any more revelation. The Spirit doesn't need to move or work in that way anymore. I don't think that's what it's saying here. I don't know. What are your thoughts on cessationism in this verse? Have you ever put that together? Have you ever heard that?
I hear you. I think it's a leap. Yeah. And then you ask me, what is your view on cessationism?
That, yeah. So,
I was not prepared for that part of the conversation.
Sorry.
I can have it, but...
Sorry. I just on that verse, it's a leap. It's a bit of a leap to see it here. But the idea is what does modern science, thought, reason, experience have to teach us? And where I want to go with this, and Chris, you can tell me your thoughts, are I hear this a lot when you talk about things like psychology, mental illness, things of the mind, things of the brain, because the more researchers study the brain, the mind, this is kind of one of those scientific frontiers. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been able to study so many things, but only in the last, 30, 40, 50 years has psychology, modern psychology, existed. Mm-hmm. This idea we can understand diseases of the brain, and those diseases aren't always a part of your brain is missing, but more just a part of your brain doesn't function the same way. We hear terms like neurodivergent, things like that. Mm-hmm. So then modern science studies those things. Does modern psychology have anything to say about life today, or is it all a sham that's trying to take us away from scripture? That argument is out there.
Oh, totally.
And I don't think you and I would say it's all trash.
Right.
But I think what this verse is pointing to is that everything we need has been given us. Yep. And some of that is through our study and understanding of our created bodies, the physical nature, how it works, how it functions, things like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think in the sphere of Christianity, you've got Jay Adams, for example, yep. who's like totally anti-psychology. There's no such thing as medication that's helpful, you know, yep. da-da-da-da-da.
John MacArthur just said something
sure.
along those lines.
He's a Jay Adams, you know,
yeah.
not so, I don't know if supporter, but very much in the same vein of thinking. And their argument is sometimes a fairly good one. The Bible's sufficient for all things, and so therefore you can find everything you need in God's word. I don't disagree. The other side of the equation is, kind of what you're describing is, I don't want to say a secular approach, but there isn't a secular approach to psychology that just says it's a hunk of meat. You know, your body is, and there's this thing inside of it that's this amazing electrical engine called right. a mind.
And it's all just chemicals.
Yeah, and we can change synapses, we can redesign it just by doing these things. I have also found that to be wildly ineffective. So yeah. I think when I think about this verse and I think about culture and I think about what you're asking with science and things, the way that I've chosen to approach most of these topics is all truth is God's truth. Mm-hmm. So is it possible that one could stumble upon a truth that God created since the beginning of time, going back to general revelation, right? There's this yeah. things in about nature. There's things about science. There's things about, why people would say, why does the earth hold us all together? Well, clearly gravity is a huge part of that. Where does gravity come from? Well, someone must have done something. And so I would say God did some things in the very beginning when he spoke the world into existence that we can't put our finger on completely, right? Mm-hmm. AI, for example, you know, we're trying to recreate human minds right now. And the problem that they're having with AI, and this is why I think AI will never really happen the way that we think it will, is AI can't come up with its own thoughts. It's just grabbing all the information of the entire universe that it has access to in 1 second, and then it's giving you the answer that that it thinks you want it to give. That's different than me talking to you in a conversation, because you're not AI, right? And so you're going to give me an answer sometimes or ask me a question that I wasn't expecting, like a little earlier about cessationism. You know, AI wouldn't have done that because AI doesn't care about that. So what I think is like part of what we're dealing with in science is there's a chase to or a pursuit to mimic what God has already done. Mm-hmm. Is that fair, do you think? And I think with that said, what ends up happening is we're never quite going to get to the thing. We can create a mimic. We can do something like that. And so I think with psychology, for example, and some of these other things, what we end up doing is we're pursuing health the way God would desire it to be. And we're mm-hmm. pursuing it on grounds that we understand some semblance of truth. If we don't give God the credit as the one where the truth is coming from, then we're never going to get where we need to get. So in that sense, all truth is God's truth. So mm-hmm. did he give our minds certain mechanisms and things that we can do to get ourselves out of a place? Yeah. Is it possible for us to do that on our own? I don't think so. I think the Holy Spirit needs to guide us along. Does that mean medicine has no place? No, it's not what I'm saying at all. Does that mean psychologists can't help at all? No, that's, again, not what I'm saying at all. But there is a wide difference between a Christian psychologist who is biblically based and, you know, a secular psychologist who's going to lead you down a path of just making you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. I think that's great. And I think that's kind of where some of this tension is what is the worldview that's viewing general revelation? Because I think you can end up in the same place, but the route that you get there is different. And that does matter, that route that you get there. You know, it's kind of, we've had this discussion about like, you know, there's this interesting like meeting place of crunchy people. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, you know, Mother Earth, New Age, you know, worship the ground, worship the earth. Therefore, we should eat more natural foods because that's more in touch with you know, Mother Earth or whatever. Right. And then you have some other people who are like, no, God created natural foods. We don't need to play with our food. Let's eat it the way God created it and intended it. And they're both saying we should eat, you know, an organic apple, for example.
Yeah.
All that to say, they—
And you're healthier doing that. Yeah. No matter which side of that equation you're coming from.
So they both end up at the same point, but the worldview that they have gets there to different places. That doesn't mean that you should throw it out because you can trace the wrong path. You can Correct. Say, oh, you're just there because of that. And I think I see that in modern psychology. I think there's a lot of value to something called biblical counseling, which is a technical term for you, the way scripture is used to speak into someone's life. But I don't think all counseling psychology ends at biblical counseling, which most biblical counselors that I know don't say that, but I do know a few that are basically like, if you give anyone life advice outside of just reading them scripture verses, you know, then that's not helpful. And it's like, you know, I think there's wisdom in applying scripture generally to our world today because there are things that we face today that weren't faced in scripture. And in the same way that like, you know, scripture's not going to tell me how to bandage my arm when it's broken. You know, but it might tell me how to care for people who are hurting and how to use God's gifts in me to learn how to bandage arms, you know.
Yeah, and I think we'll get into that a little bit more in the next podcast too, because when I think about specific revelation and where we're going to go with that, I think one of the things that we need to talk about is what is the Bible's intention? What is it actually written for? What's its ultimate aim? In that sense, it is all sufficient and capable of giving everything we need. At the same time, sometimes to get there means we have to put things together rather than just apply a verse and say, this is all this means. Where, no, sometimes wisdom is found by stringing 20 verses together, and then you start to see a pattern that God's building, and you're like, oh, that's what wisdom actually looks like here. Yeah. You know, when Solomon had the two women walk up to him, you know, in that sense, he's using general revelation, something that God laid on his heart, this supernatural knowledge of some sort, and he's able to look at the situation and he's able to say, okay, well, you know, okay, let's just cut the baby in half. And the one's like, no, she can have the baby. And he's like, all right, you're the mom. And in that moment, he is applying a number of things together. And as he strings it together, there's this sense of, I think I know how to handle this. And then it's like, oh yeah, that was right the whole time. And I don't know if that's a great example of general revelation, but it's this idea that there is wisdom to be found in the world, let's go back a little bit to general revelation. The definition of it are things that just exist that sort of point us to God's nature. I think that would probably be the easiest definition I could come up with. So things like nature, you know, one of the things I've talked to a scientist before who is an astronomer, and he's like, the universe is endless. There's no boundaries to it. That's a symbol to me, this scientist said, of God's unending nature. And I'm like, well, that's really cool. So he's looking at the endlessness of the universe, and he's saying that is a symbol, a picture of, you know, that God is unending. And so God's nature is found in that very thing. You know, when I think about, there's a number of verses, but I think one is in Romans that just talks about, I'm going to read it here in a second, you know, the fact that the human conscience is Romans 2:14-15, we have a sense of right and wrong, right? In our world. And so there's a moral sense of right and wrong, good and bad that I think is just innate in most humans, because there's a general sense of what God's sense of her morality is. I think one of my favorite elements of general revelation is just history itself. I don't know how much you've talked to historians or other, but there's a sense that like God is doing something that has molded history together in the way that he's telling it. And it's not perfect, but when I look back on it, there's no way that we just got here by accident. Mm-hmm. So there's this sense that God is sort of steering things a little bit, and you can see little flickers or little moments where he's setting a course, which is why, you know, when people say, this is the end of America, and I'm like, okay, it's okay. Like, we're going to be fine because God's in control, not America or whatever. So there's all these little moments, and there's a ton of things, you know, even just what makes us human, back to my AI comment and other things, we are trying to recreate something that I don't think we can. And I think when most of us look at a human being, we go, what an amazing thing. You know, we've got systems in our bodies that don't make any sense. We're never fully going to understand, right? We can get really close to the point of what makes life life, but it's a miracle. There's something amazing about it. You just go, no, you're special and you're different and God made you that way. Right. So those are some of the senses of what general revelation is. What is there anything you'd add to that or anything you're thinking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Just in when you said how we got here is not how are we created, but how we got to this point in history.
I
just wanted to clarify that.
Yep. Thank you. That's good.
That was kind of a long. Yeah. Well, I think this is why it is so important using scripture and general revelation to create a very solid biblical worldview. And what I mean by that is when you view the world, you view the things that happen around me or around you, all of us, we do this. How do we categorize them? How do we place them? How do we understand their fit into the direction of the world? Having a very solid biblical worldview helps us deal with generation with general revelation because there's this idea that, again, when these two separate places, these two separate worldviews can end up in the same place, I think what ends up happening is sometimes as Christians, we see a origin that's non-biblical, and we say, well, anything that comes out of it must therefore be bad. And, you know, so one of the examples that I see with this, you know, I mentioned like crunchy people, but I think more pressing today is the idea of the modern social justice movement.
Right, right.
That because of Marxism or classism, and that's this idea that people are divided into the ruling class, the oppressing class, and the oppressed class. Right. That's what Marxism means, that there's two classes, and it is the job of the oppressed class to overthrow the oppressors.
When they realize they're oppressed too much. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. So that's, you know, I think we throw around the term Marxism a lot, but that's the basic definition. That's what Marxism means. Two classes, the oppressed are, when they are too oppressed, they overthrow the oppressors. That type of mindset has really pushed into this idea of social justice. Okay, so now we have to have things like reparations or payments or things given back or what's the thing they do in colleges and jobs where they give people jobs?
Basically? Yeah, incentives.
No, but what's the – why can't I think of the thing? Oh, man. It'll come to me in a second. It's this idea that – affirmative action.
I was going to say, is it affirmative action?
Yeah, affirmative action. All these types of things. Those come from this Marxist ideology.
Right.
Social justice, we gotta overturn the class, we gotta redo this.
Which is usually a destruction with no creation afterward. Right. It's sort of just an endless destruction.
Right.
Keep going.
Right. So I'm just giving examples of some things that have come out of that. However, I think what the pendulum that swings too hard the other way or where a lot of times Christians see it is anything that like those what they're getting at has been generally revealed to them. Like that idea of justice, God's justice is on their hearts because of God's general revelation, his creation, how he creates us, how what he puts into humans' hearts is this idea of justice. So sometimes we see that there's this Marxist origin to some justice and then Christians throw it all out when God himself is a God of justice.
Sure.
And maybe some of those same things, those same ideas that are come up with by Marxists, for example, might actually be good ideas. We can just approach them from a biblical worldview instead of a Marxist ideology.
Right.
And I think that's where the tension of general revelation is. And it's this idea of there's a book out there called Gospel Fluency that's really good explaining, you know, this kind of both the tearing apart that I just described happens in our churches, but in our hearts, it also is the smashing together that when we're talking to people, sometimes we let the worldviews of the world come into our hearts as we're giving advice or counsel or support. We're basically doing self-help.
Yep.
Because God has revealed helpful wisdom to our world, But without the gospel, and we'll dig into that deeper in special revelation, it's not actually helpful. And I find myself doing this all the time when people have problems and I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, like you got to do you. You got to do what's right for you. And it's like, well, that's not in scripture. Actually, that's kind of the opposite. Like Jesus didn't do what was right for him. Like the gospel calls us to do what is right for others and not right for ourselves. The gospel calls us to look out for others. So,
yeah,
you know, that's just an example. And that's a way I think that God's general revelation is out there and it's causing people to do some similar things that Christians want to accomplish. I think instead of just chucking those out and saying they have this terrible origin, we can ground a biblical worldview on what those things mean and accept God's general revelation that he has described to others, but then approach it from a different path.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So I think the easiest one that I can think of when I'm hearing what you're describing is all men are created equal.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And you can read that in the Declaration of Independence, and you can say that is absolutely true. And it whether you're a theist or whether you're an atheist, you can agree that that's true. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's this sense that all men are created equal. And I think what I'm hearing you say is where we run into an issue is when the Christian worldview doesn't match up to what it says it believes to some extent. And then what ends up happening, so for example, all men are created equal, and then you get to the Constitution, all men are created equal, unless you're of a different ethnicity or you are a slave and so you're there for that. And that creates a huge problem when you're claiming to be a Christian nation and you're saying this is true, but then what you're actually living out is not. So then what ends up happening is there's this dialectic that's created, right? There's a good side and a bad side. And the answer a lot of times if you're not coming from a Christian worldview is we need to break this all down because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But what's so ironic, and this is the point we wanted to get to at some point in the podcast, is what's ironic is you're going to use the foundations of the Christian faith, all men are created equal, as the grounds for you to break down what currently exists, and you have every right to do so to some extent, right? So the social justice movement, in some sense, is trying to bring about what I think God ultimately wants to do.
Right.
The problem is the way it's going about it doesn't honor God because the foundation they're coming from, the Marxist foundation, isn't based on Christianity.
Right. And if I can just jump in.
So then what Christians do is throw it all out. Right.
Yeah, and that's the difference between general and special revelation.
Totally.
That like this group ultimately wants the same thing because I think God has put that on the hearts of all of his creation.
Totally, general revelation.
Justice, fairness, that is the definition of general revelation. Yep. However, the reason we need special revelation is because there's two ways you can do it. One is you can tear down and it's ultimately not going to work.
Right.
Or you can use a divine plan to fix the issues of injustice.
Yeah, and the problem is we are finite. And even though we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and even though we're following the Holy Spirit's leading, and even though we're trying to do what God wants us to do, we're still broken vessels.
Yeah.
And so even what we create as Christians is always going to fall short of the ideal, which ironically is another part of the general revelation.
Right.
There's a desire inside of us for something perfect, something beautiful, something eternal, and there's only one way to get there. And unfortunately, you only get there through special revelation.
And that's why we need special revelation. Man, I keep on, man.
It's all good.
Special revelation.
We need coffee. Bring coffee.
Yeah, that too, man. Oh, man. It's afternoon right now. Yeah, that's why we need special revelation because we need somebody who has a better plan than anything we could come up with. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, God has that plan and then he gave it to his people and he said, I want you to know these exact things. This is how it's all going to work out. This is how you're going to take what I've shown you in creation in the universe and you're going to make it right the right way.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is general revelation is this idea that there are attributes of God's nature that we can find no matter where you're at in the faith spectrum. The problem is when you try to build anything not off of that, you end up in a bad place.
So good.